We have to review what God has said and what he's been doing, or we'll either forget or we'll lose sight. Like this morning, we were with some believers in America online, just some people that we were connected with during the summer. And it was just amazing how just a few moments together, actually we were together a little over an hour, but just how it just gets us aligned, gets us thinking clearly, gets us just clarity about what God is saying and what he's doing and what he said, and how do we stay faithful to what God is leading us to do. And so just to go back to, I could actually go back to last year. It's interesting because Antonio reminded us yesterday, like literally last summer, I started preaching messages on greater grace. We need greater grace. Little did I know why we would all need the greater grace, but you know, the Lord knows everything, right? So he gets us focused on things, and it's like greater grace, great. And if you remember, guys, the year before greater grace, it was how to get unstuck. I mean, the Lord was preparing us all the way. Whether or not we were like taking him seriously or not, I don't know. But like, honestly, I'm thinking about it. It's like the Lord wanted us to get unstuck. He wanted us to access greater grace. Well, if he wants us to access greater grace, it means that we're going to need greater grace. You know, it's like, we should actually go back and review some of those messages on greater grace. I'm like, you know, I was preaching them at the time thinking that they were meaningful. Now I'm like, oh my goodness, like Lord, you knew a lot more than we knew, right? I mean, it's all from his word, right? So anyway, so then on December 31st last year, Natalie hears the voice of the Lord, internal audible voice of the Lord, that no disease known to man she'll be able to stand in the presence of the company of this people, right? And it's like, okay, you know, December 31st, it was very interesting because literally, like the next day, COVID came into kind of the global, I mean, it was known before, especially in China and the World Health Organization that was keeping it all under wraps. But anyway, it became a global, you know, it was familiar to the globe, literally like the same day or the day after the Lord gave Natalie the word. But of course, you know, nobody knew on December 31st that we would be where we are today. Nobody knew. But the Lord spoke and he said, no disease known to man, you know. So just to fast forward, you know, COVID is happening. And then we were gathered in this room and the Lord speaks a word that in this hour, fear is rising. And so we're going to be fear extinguishers, right? And that became part of our DNA, part of, you know, kind of what we were about. And you know, we didn't necessarily know what that was going to look like, but we started to explore that space. I mean, even today when Jemima and Subhash and I were out, some of what we were praying for people and some of what was in my mind was people are anxious, people are nervous, and we are relieving that fear. We're bringing it down. We're continuing to fulfill the mandate to come and to bring extinguishing fear wherever fear is present. So anyway, the next week after that week, we didn't know what we were supposed to do. I mean, everything's shutting down in Kuwait and, you know, gatherings aren't supposed to happen. And then the Lord speaks, it's time for the church on wheels. So let's get into cars and let's start driving around the country and doing the things that Christians do, like pray and try to minister to people, right? And so all of a sudden, you know, it's funny, you know, the church just kept meeting. It was morphing. I feel like the Lord was making a way. So church on wheels, it's interesting in this hour that it's been these phrases or these little, it hasn't been complicated. It's been like, well, the no disease known to man shall not, that was like the longest word. All these other things have been like short things like fear extinguishers, church on wheels, you know, and there's other ones I'll get to in just a minute. So then like, and then the Lord showed us, it was a dream that Natalie had, but then it was an interpretation that I had. The Lord, you know, showed us, it's like, we're going to be here for the beginning of this COVID thing, and then we're going to be back in the States in the next stage of it, right? And so as we were going, I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? What are we doing? You know, what do you want to do when we get there? And the Lord, you know, the Lord showed me that not only was our mandate to extinguish the fear of the people that we would go to and try to minister to, but to take Christians along with us And as they joined in the mandate to be fear extinguishers, their fear would be extinguished. It was like a Jehovah sneaky. We saw this again and again and again. People that would engage the mandate, people that would go out on the streets with us, when people weren't going out, people weren't going places, we would be going out and the Lord would open doors and make ways. And the people that would come along, it's like they were delivered from their fear. And I just saw the goodness of God in that. And then the Lord was like, hey, you know, I just want you to know, you, by my grace, I allowed you to minister to people, but in reality, all through it, I was also really ministering to you. Just so you know, I was keeping you guys free from fear and free from getting under this thing. You know, we wanted to stand top. Even I had a prophetic word that I think I shared with you guys, like that picture of like in an avalanche, you want to end up, I wanted to show you guys the video. If there's an avalanche and you end up on top of it, you're okay. Where you don't want to end up in an avalanche is buried underneath it, you know? And so I feel like that is kind of like a prophetic picture of what God's people can be. It's not to say that everybody's in the avalanche. You're not avoiding this avalanche. The globe is in an avalanche. But as we partner with God, we can be on top of it. We can end up on top of it, not underneath it, you know? And sometimes we get under it a little bit, and then the Lord wants to bring us back to the surface. That's why there's grace in the gathering. When we gather, when we get focused again, when we recalibrate our lives, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I got under it a little bit. I mean, we're human. We get under it. We get frustrated. We get anxious. We get whatever. But then the Lord will reboot us and kind of get us back on top of things. So anyway, just to fast forward throughout our time in the States, I mean, it was amazing. Some people would join us. A lot of people resisted us and avoided us. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, people I thought were like super close friends. People I never would have thought in a million years. It's like not returning our calls, not wanting. I mean, honestly, it was weird. It was really, really weird what this whole thing did. It exposed a lot. I mean, and then in the end, a lot of people criticized us because, you know, we were out ministering to people. And some of you saw the videos where we were with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in public, you know, violating the orders of the governor of the state of California, doing it without masks, not social distancing, preaching the gospel, worshiping. And oh, my goodness, the criticism that was coming. Forget the world. The world was, they weren't happy with what the church was doing. But the more painful things came from Christians. You're foolish. You're being unloving. Why would you do that? It's like, why would we call people to Jesus and baptize them? And I mean, like, what? Are we kidding, church? I mean, like, you should be rejoicing that people are getting saved. But no, lots of criticism, right? You know, and even today, the church, this divided the church in my country, just divided it. You've got churches that are like, we need to be loving neighbors and just shut everything down and just be, you know, whatever. And then any church that opened, it's like all of a sudden criticism. And then the lines were drawn. And I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing what's happened. It's still a huge mess. Anyway, but I did realize that the fear extinguishing really kept us from getting under fear, you know? And even today, like just being out with Jemima and Subhash and doing that. And like, I mean, I came home, I was just so encouraged. And it was just like, yeah, like, I mean, I knew we were going to worship and this is awesome today to worship and gather and get in the word and all that stuff. But I just feel like Friday's been so good. I mean, you know, people get touched and now we're gathering and we get to it's just amazing. And then tomorrow's the same thing. I mean, we're going out again tomorrow and I'm like, who even knows what's going to happen? It's just so exciting. I feel like that is how we are going to stay sharp in this time, is to be sheep who are following the voice of our shepherd. You know, if we are not hearing the voice of the shepherd in this hour, then fast and pray until you are. Seriously. It's not a time to be disconnected. It's not a time to have your Wi-Fi turned off from heaven. It's just not a time for that, right? We've all got to be logged in, right? Who knows where things are going, especially with this crazy election coming up. I mean, who knows what's going to be happening globally in the next couple of months. But I promise you, I don't need to be a prophet to say this. It is going to be the craziest 2.5 months most people have ever seen. What's going to happen in the next 2.5 months is going to be crazy. I think there's going to be crazy good stuff. I think there's going to be crazy violent stuff. There's going to be confusion. Friends here in Kuwait, one's going to line up over here. One's going to line up here. It's going to be absolute mayhem. In the kingdom of darkness is just doing all sorts of stuff, right? You know, and so we have to be people who are literally logged into heaven. Anyway, so let me fast forward a little bit before we get to the study. Again, this is still background. Anyway, on May 1st, our governor in the state of California says churches will not be gathering in this state for 4 to 6 months. He just makes that decree, you know, our leftist Christian-hating governor in California. Churches will not be meeting. And then, of course, many churches are like, oh, I guess we're just not meeting for 4 to 6 months. And literally, as soon as I hear him say that, however I heard him say it, whether it was an interview or something, the Lord spoke to me and he says, it's time for the church to come home. And I knew immediately that meant that the church that has been existing above the ground needs to be meeting in homes, right? Because it wasn't meeting in homes, but it needed to be meeting in homes. It's not time for the church to stop meeting or to stay disconnected. It's time for the church to follow the shepherd and say, okay, let's start meeting in homes. Because people could do that. I mean, there was some restrictions. They didn't want more than 10 people in a home or whatever in a meeting, but there was never any enforcement along those lines. So it's like, honestly, many churches, instead of fighting or getting upset or whatever, if they would have just pivoted and say, okay, let's have a plan, let's start meeting in homes, let's start encouraging people, but the churches were, many were confused. They didn't know what to do, you know? Some pastors stood up and say, we're going to defy the governor and we're going to meet with hundreds of people. Others did. Honestly, it was like, man, but I heard there's no place like home, you know? I heard it's time to come home. And then I hear that line from The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And then it morphed into there's no place like homes, plural. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to figure out what God is saying. I'm like, okay, I know, because I'm not, you know, here we have a family that we're a part of leading, but in the States, I mean, we're connected with some churches, but I don't lead a church there and I don't, whatever. So I'm like, why am I hearing this? Like I'm focused on outreach and I'm also in touch with a lot of pastor friends and stuff and trying to encourage them. As I'm home and meeting with them and stuff like that. So I felt like at the time I didn't know what it meant. I thought, oh, okay, so we're supposed to move into homes and unbelievers are going to come to our homes. I was thinking, I just immediately thought that, oh, homes is also where people that come to Christ are going to want to come, or people that are interested are going to want to come. What I did is I took a word about homes and I realized, as we get into this study, you're going to see what I've discovered is that there's one type of home meeting that the Lord had intended, and there's another type of home meeting that the Lord had intended. And at some point down the line, he's going to knit these two together. I don't know how that's going to be, but I at the time did not understand that there were two types of homes that God wanted to establish. And we're going to look at one of those types of homes in this study. Anyway, let me now just end. That's the background of kind of how we got to this thing. Because now I'm still a little bit confused because I'm thinking that it's one type of home meeting and that home meeting is for the church and for the lost. That's what I'm thinking, you know? So I did not. And so some people, like, they're like, Dave's confusing. Like, on the one hand, you're talking about home churches. And on another time, you're talking, and then another time you're talking about the church should meet. And I was a little bit, I wasn't dialed in. And what I want to do now is I want to share how the Lord helped bring clarity to me and help me understand a strategy that's in the Word of God. Maybe I'd seen it before, maybe I hadn't. I don't know. You know, sometimes when you get revelation on something and it's like you think you've never seen it before, that's how it feels like to me. But it's hard to imagine how many times I've read Acts chapter 10 and thought about this, that I've never seen any of this But it's just kind of like one of those things where I've come back to it and I feel like the Lord's kind of put light on it and put a deeper understanding. And so what I'm going to, I'm just shifting now into like phase two of this.